Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Experience the unconventional,
evening, boss.
The unpredictable,
what's happening?
And the completely unorthodox,
exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee, the late-night alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
That's what I'm talking about.
How have I never heard this version before? It makes me think.
Oh, yeah.
Is there more Fats Domino? All I know of Fats Domino is Blueberry Hill. That's it. Is there more Fats Domino I should be digging? When did that song come out? 1968, the Beatles did it. It's from the album commonly known as the White Album, even though the real name is The Beatles, by The Beatles. And that's Fats Domino. I sort of thought he stopped doing songs in 1956, but he obviously recorded that 68, 69, I would have thought. Is there some more? I like that. I found some great Beatles covers for you tonight. Late Night Alternative, I'm Ian Lee. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle.
And Sam is answering the phones tonight. If you're waiting for a question, if you're waiting for the deep, detailed analysis of the Labour manifesto, if you're waiting for something, you ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get it. Instead, you're just going to get us rambling on. And tonight's prep involved me Googling weird Beatles covers. I found some great ones. Let me play. Well, let's talk to our friend Sharon first. Good evening, Sharon.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Catherine.
Hey, Sharon.
Hello, Sharon, my old friend. It's nice to bathe with you again. What can we do for you tonight, Sharon?
Don't shout at me. I have a story and I'll get to the point.
Well, I like a style. Get to the point!
So, this time last year,
yes.
I took an overdose. And I ended up in hospital.
Oh,
okay.
Sure. Yes.
But no, I've got a better point than this, right?
I like you. You're bonkers.
Yeah. And I was in a really dark place.
Yes.
A really, really dark place.
Yeah.
A hospital for 5 days, whatever. Anyway, went on a spiral, left my kids, left my husband at Christmas.
Flipping heck.
He asked me back, saved my life, and we travel to work now every day and on the way home listening to your podcast.
Hang on a second. Are you saying that our podcast is responsible for the suicide, the attempt to take your life?
No. Today, we've just... Well, we're back together, but our little bond together is our drive to work in the morning.
Oh, Sharon.
And our little bond home again is our little drive home again with you two on the radio. And we laugh and we cry. And this morning's podcast was Chris in Plymouth.
Oh, that's from about... That's almost a year ago the day.
It was a year ago, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yep. Sharon.
Yeah, and you said something on there that you said when you get in that place, it's not, oh, I don't want this or I can't live like this. It's people are better off without me. And that's how I felt at that point. And I thought, oh, I couldn't wait till 10 o'clock to ring you and say, yes, that's what I thought.
But those thoughts, are you saying those thoughts are far behind you now?
Oh, way far behind me now. I've got a granddaughter. And
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I'm in a great place. But
brilliant.
We went to work this morning.
Yeah.
And it was at that point where you went, Chris, can you answer me?
Uh-oh.
And then he had to get out for work. And all day long, I was like, oh, my God. I couldn't wait to get back in the car to put the podcast back on. To hear that he was okay again.
Yeah. He came on the show. Spoiler alert, he came on the show a month or two afterwards as well. Still, life was still difficult, but he survived that evening.
Oh, no, he flicks back and forth to, like, it might be last year, but then we might listen to it last night.
Oh, God, is that not confusing? You can't jump around in time like that. It'll drive you crazy.
You know my husband, anyway. He used to be your DPD driver, Craig.
Oh, Craig! Well, I do know Craig. When I moved into my new house, gosh, we're talking August last year, like day two or three, this fella rocks up. He goes, oh, my God, I can't believe it's you. And, of course, my ego was like, oh, well, of course. And he was always a brilliant driver, deliverer, better than the jerks we've got now doing it. Actually, the new one's really good as well. Oh, well, send my best to Craig, Sharon, and thank you so, so much for your kind words, and I'm really glad that you're back on facing the right way again.
Oh yeah, can I just ask you a question?
Oh, here we go. I haven't got any money.
No.
I haven't got any money.
No, it's all right. I've got none either. I don't need
good.
It.
Yep.
You said in your podcast that you were doing Luton next year.
Oh shoot! Yeah, I need to get back to them with the dates. Yes, we're doing Luton Library next year. Probably not until about September, I think.
Okay, because I've looked on the website at your date, and it's not there.
Not there yet. I'm going to write down in my diary, email Luton Library Theatre tomorrow. That's what I'm going to do.
And we will keep an eye out, and we'll be there.
Okay, okay. Hang on. Email Luton. Thank you, Sharon. So nice to talk to you.
And you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. What a great start to the show. Thank you. Everybody. A lot of people out there struggling. That's the weird thing. For those who weren't listening to us, we're picking up new listeners at a rate of knots. About this time last year, we just took a phone call from a guy called Chris, and he had taken an overdose, and he was outside, and he didn't know where he was, and he was dying. And thanks to the help of Catherine and some eagle-eared listeners, we were able to pinpoint exactly where he was. And 30 minutes, yeah, after 30 minutes, the police rocked up and saved him and took him to the hospital. I think he died he was definitely in intensive care for a few days in a coma. I think he might have died and they brought him back, but he was certainly in a coma. And I spoke to him a bit over that Christmas, and he came on once or twice on the show. I think the last time we spoke to him was about February earlier in the year. Chris, if you're listening, it'd be lovely to get an update, man, to know where you are and what's going on. And thank you for that, Sharon. Those are nice words. What a start to the show. How humbling. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. I had something really good for the show tonight and I forgot to write it down. It was one of those things. I thought, this is so good, I do not need to write it down, and I'll remember it. And I can't. I thought tonight, one of the things, I can talk about it a little bit easier now, about my velvet, my cat being put to sleep yesterday. I can talk about it a little bit easier, but it's still very sad. But what struck me, for those of you who've been listening for a while, you'll know all about Velvet. For the new listeners, it was a cat. I got her nearly 19 years ago. She was 2 years old. She was a rescue cat, and she's seen me through a marriage, through two kids, through a couple of long-term relationships. I had to have her put down yesterday. She was coming up to 21, and she was not very well. And I took her to the vets, and the vet said, well, it's possibly her kidneys, and we could possibly give her an injection that might have an effect in 48 hours. And then he sort of paused and looked at me, and I said, is it time? And he said, I think it probably is. And so we put her down. Oh, it's the saddest thing. It's the saddest, saddest thing. And the reason I can talk about it now without crying is because I've been crying all day. And I might start crying in a bit. But several things have come out of that. Oh, and I got a card from the vets today. Oh, I got a card from the vets saying, really sorry for your loss. And it was signed by everyone at the vets. What a lovely thing to do. There's a couple of things that kind of come out of it. Firstly, right, I tweeted, not the greatest picture of me in Velvet. It's me in bed, topless, with her sniffing my eyeball, which is one of the things she liked to do. But it's the only one I could find.
Better than her nibbling your nipple, which she also liked to do.
I never took a picture of that. That was a private moment between the two of us. Oh, when I got into bed last night and I took three packets of cat food out of the cupboard and I went,
Ah, yes. And I put one packet back, and then I went upstairs to bed and I looked at where she would normally sleep, and I've got to move her bed and clean her hairs, and I've got her bowl. None of the other cats are using that bowl. That bowl is velvet, so I've decided. Anyway, so I tweeted it, right? And the tweet has been, I'm not doing this for likes, obviously, but it's been liked like 12,000 times or 10,500 times, something like that, by big names. Big names. Dermot O'Leary, Susie Dent, Linda Nolan, big names,
cat
right?
fans,
which is great. And I've not had one snarky, mean reply to that tweet. Now, admittedly, I muted a lot of people over the years, and I blocked a lot of people. But still, you would think, I would think, maybe you wouldn't. I would think. I was waiting for the oh man up snowflake. You're crying again like you did in the jungle. The tension seeking. I was expect one of those. Nothing. Nothing. Unless I've missed it. I think I've seen all the comments. I think I've read all the comments. And I've taken the time to do that. So thank you. And all the emails, thank you. Apart from the email from one guy who's a stalker who sent me an email. Unbelievable. A guy that we've reported to the police. Just wanted to say, but sorry to hear about you. But you but what? We reported you to the police, you nutjob.
Yeah, could you not? Could you not?
How dare you mention Velvet's name in an email, you scumbag. But not one snarky comment. And then our friend Dave DM'd me and said, I think you're finally having the experience on Twitter that most people have. Is Twitter, mate? I have no question to it. It just proves to me that there are a lot of good people out there, a lot of good people. So many nice comments. And so many people very kindly sharing pictures of their cats and their dogs. And a lot of cats have died recently around the age of 20. I don't want to say I've got a conspiracy
theory. Where were you on the night in question?
Exactly. I think we know who's doing it. It's the people whose names can't be mentioned. It's a reference to last night's show and our anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. I do not think the Zionists or the Jewish people are going around killing cats around the age of 20. I have to clarify that. But most people have been really understanding. I was expecting a bit of, oh, mate, it's only a cat. Get over it. But most people have got it. And then I found myself...
They don't want to rile the cat lovers.
No. And someone tweeted, Ian, it's Twitter. Cats are taken very seriously here. Thank you. But then I found myself doing, and I apologise for this, but this show is about honesty. I found myself thinking about a couple of tweets I saw, what I was expecting to get back, right? And the thing is, the first thought, we've talked about this, you can't control the first thought. The first thought is what the knee jerk is instinctual. Instinctual?
Instinctive, I would say.
Okay.
But I think you can say that.
The second thought is the one that counts, as far as I'm concerned. First one that pops up, you can act on it, you can go with it, you can run with it, or you can go, nah, get out of here. What do I really think? And I'll tell you what it was. Someone tweeted me that, and this might make you laugh, or it might not, if you're a better human than me. Someone tweeted, yeah, we lost our pet lizard of 5 the other day, and it broke my heart. And someone else tweeted about a snake dying. And I went, yeah, all right, mate, whatever. And then I realised I was doing what I was expecting other people to do to me, because I do not see a lizard or a snake in the same way that I see a cat. I was being a snob. I was being arrogant and I was being a snob. And it was really interesting. I was because I saw it as I was getting in the car, and then I was driving, and I thought, God, that's a terrible first thought to have. Because obviously to those people, they were part of the family in the same way that Velvet is one of my kids. Velvet was my oldest kid, my little girl. And these pets had similar, identical, whatever places in their family. And I felt really bad that my initial reaction was to sneer slightly, privately. I didn't tweet. Of course I wouldn't tweet. To sneer slightly, bloody lizard dying. But of course it doesn't matter, does it? Doesn't matter what it is. You have a living creature that is part of your family Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. So I want to thank those people for sharing that with me, because it really caused me to think a lot about what makes a family, what makes, you know, why we invite pets into our lives and why they become so important and why they can be like extra children or brothers or sisters. You know what I mean? It can be that kind of thing. Are you about to cry or are you stifling a yawn?
No.
Or is it a fart?
Before, now I've got a cat, but before,
it was a fart.
I only ever had goldfish.
Yeah.
And they were pretty, I mean, they're a bit selfish.
It's tough to build a relationship with, but I did get upset when
Bentley
died. But
I was really upset when my goldfish died, like really upset.
I wasn't so upset when the boy's goldfish died, because it was like every other week and I just had to keep going buying another one. But we do invite animals to be part of our families. And I learned a real lesson today. It doesn't matter. To me, it's cats. The boys have got a dog. I'm not so keen on dogs, but I get it. And I couldn't get, until I saw these tweets, a snake and a lizard. Couldn't get it. Huh? But now I get it. So I want to thank those people for sharing that with me. It's really got me to think a lot. But also, I'm so thrilled that so many people have identified, because what I've definitely not said to anyone, and it's popped up in my head, didn't say, well, I wanted to say it to the vet when he put Velvet down, wanted to say it to the receptionist when I said, can I settle up? And she said, well, we don't have to do it today now. I said, no, let's just do it. Wanted to say it to the builders at home. Patrick, if you're listening, please don't cause another leak in my house. For God's sakes, man. For God's sakes, Patrick caused a leak in my house that has caused thousands of pounds worth of damage. My God. I wanted to say it on Twitter. And what I wanted to say was, oh, God, you must think I'm so stupid crying about this. And that is a real me trying to cover up my... trying to explain away my... God, you must think I'm so stupid crying about this. Because, of course, the vet isn't going to think that. The receptionist isn't going to... People might think that, but so many people... What's the point I'm trying to get to? So many people on Twitter have shown me... Of course, it's not stupid to be upset about that. That it is, it's not like losing a family member. It is losing a family member. And the grief is as real and as heavy as anything else. Would I cry more if one of my boys went? Yeah, probably. Of course. But the grief is real. The pain is real. I've been crying so much today, so much. And I was trying to find some pictures and I found a few. I can't find many of when she was younger, but I've got a few. And I found a half dozen because my ex-wife wanted some because she's very upset. And I found some and then I was in tears and I thought, I can't look for any more. This will do for now. So I've been in tears today. And I'll cry again when I go home. Of course I will. And I'm close to it now, but I'm not going to. But it doesn't matter if I do. But so many people have shown me that the grief when a pet goes is just as real and just as valid as when a human being goes. In some ways it could be more painful, some ways it might be less painful, but it's just as real and it's just as valid. And I really didn't want to come in yesterday to do the show, but part of me thought, I tell you what, my thinking was twofold. One, that I'd had two nights off last week because I was not feeling great. And one was, I can't have the night off because a cat died.
The last radio station I worked at,
yeah,
one of my colleagues, when he lost his cat, I think he was off for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. And of course I could have had a night off for Velvet dying. Of course I could have had the rest of the week off for Velvet dying. That would be fine. And I think, and it's partly because I've got a really good boss, actually, who gets the mental health stuff. He gets stuff. He's very, Denny is, for all of his faults, and there are many, main one being he's so tiny. So tiny.
It's not really his fault.
For me to look up to him, he has to stand on two boxes. But he's a great boss. And I know that not everywhere would be anywhere near as understanding as our direct bosses. And so I'm eternally grateful for that.
You've never had to make an excuse to Denny.
No. I've always been able to tell him the truth. But again, it made me think. I don't quite know what this is. We're going to go to an advert in a minute, and we've got Caddick, Greg, and Susan, and we'll do all that. And I've not really got a point. I guess the point I'm trying to make is, let me tie it in with something. I remember hearing on a rival breakfast show, Nick Ferrari, a couple of months ago, there was a campaign to make it law that you could take time off if a pet died. And he was being very sneering and condescending about it, as is his wont. And I remember sort of not being completely on his side, but I kind of got his point in a less condescending way, thinking, well, 2-3 days off. Wasn't totally swung either way. I was kind of sitting on the fence, but slightly. I think I was sat on the fence, but both legs were on Ferrari's side of the fence. But I was still sat on the fence. But now, of course it should be. You lose someone that's lived with you for 6 months, 10 years, 20 years, as Velvet did, then, yeah, of course you should be allowed to. It should be law that you can have bereavement time off.
And here's the thing with animals. You get them and they're your baby.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're older than you.
Yeah.
And you're looking after an old person.
Yeah.
You see their whole life.
Mm.
And you're their main focus. Of course you're going to miss them.
And now I'm going to start crying. So, that's not what this is about tonight. I'm going to try and keep the private crying a little bit more private. And if you want to hear me crying, get download last night's podcast. It's great. It's me crying about Velvet and then tearing an anti-Semite, a new one. It's a wonderful mix. Really sums up what we do here on the Late Night Alternative. So, if you want to contribute to what I've said, that's great. I want to personally thank everybody who sent me an email, apart from that guy, or a tweet. With your condolences, I've read every single one, man. I've not replied to all of them. I've replied to hardly any of them because actually I found it quite hard, but I've read every single one and I've had some really nice offers of having some of her ashes turned into a bit of jewellery, which I'm going to do. I've had a very talented young woman whose name escapes me, but said, if you can get a decent picture of Velvet, I'll do a portrait of her. Velvet did not like having her photo taken. You would get there with a phone or a camera, that's how old she is, and she'd look at you and then she'd just turn and walk away.
Tell me about it.
So she just didn't like having her photo taken, so I've not got many. But I'm going to try and find one because this young woman is so talented and I thought that'd be lovely. Of course, I have a picture that you commissioned as my Christmas present last year of her, which sits in the big painting, which is in the living room, and it's just, it makes me, it has me in pieces. Anyway, the point I'm trying to say is I love everybody. I love you, Catherine. I love you, Sam. I love... who else do I love? I love you, Alan.
Hello?
I love you, Alan.
Oh, I love you too, Ian.
I love you, Susan.
I love you.
And I love you, dear listener. 03444991000. It's all my love.
This is Talk Radio.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344-499-1000. What is going on with you, Cads?
Sorry, bud. I was on James Brown in 85, but we learned on Blow and name that tune.
Oh, go on, let's play it.
I'm battery down on the mobile. Because it was gone to a commercial break. Oh. Anyway, Bob, sorry to hear about your cat, because I know it's like to lose a pet.
What did you have, Alan?
Well, I had two dogs that died.
What were their names?
The first one was called Lady, and the second one was called Bella.
It's sad, isn't it?
They were both 16 years old when they died.
Oh, man.
First one, Lady died of a heart attack.
Oh, blimey.
And Bella died of a broken leg in old age.
Ah, man, it's sad, isn't it? When they
yeah, they were proper pets of family, and Lady helped me coping with my phobia of dogs.
I'll play this for your sadly deceased dog.
Thanks, Rob. I'm your knight in shining armor, and I love you. You have made me what I am, and I'm yours. My love. Oh, love,
there's
lady.
So many ways I want
to see. Fear. Take her for a walk every day. Let me hold you in my arms for evermore. She would, and I remember sitting with her on the sofa in the living room watching the telly. You have and she would come up and give me a kiss. And made me such I really like that dog. I'm so lost in your love. We belong together. Won't you believe in my song? Lady, for so many years I thought I'd never find you. You have come into my life. You're right, Alan. I'm just a bit sad about Lady.
Yeah, I know. It is sad. I hope you don't mind us playing that. I thought that was just a lovely song, and I thought it might be a nice little tribute. To... Yeah, and it was nice to hear your thoughts and... yeah, nice to hear your thoughts on it, Alan.
Thank you, boss.
No, thank you, mate. I'm sorry if I upset you.
That's OK. Anyway, life goes on. And I've got RuPaul's Drag Race UK report.
Don't spoil it, please!
It's from last week.
Speaking of ladies.
Yes, hang on. I've got a song for that. It goes a little bit like this.
Is that Mega Chips or Divina the Campo?
Don't spoil it, please.
No, I'm talking about last week.
But just don't spoil it.
You know, Catherine and I have been invited to the RuPaul's Drag Con in Olympia in January.
Wow!
Yeah, and a lot of the big stars are going. Oh, and which one started following me? Bag of Shite?
No.
Bag of chips.
Vinegar Strokes.
Vinegar Strokes started following me, which is great.
Well, she was eliminated in week three, she was.
Yep. I like those ladies. I don't know why they focus so much on their brothers.
The brothers are weird, horrible-looking men, but the ladies are great.
There was a drag queen from Birmingham in there called Something Wrong.
Yeah, there was, I remember.
Yeah.
She got eliminated in week four.
There we go. Alan, nice to talk to you, mate. Thank you for sharing your stories about ladies. It's nice to hear, you know, how pets can have an impact on us. And thanks for the RuPaul's Drag Race update.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much indeed. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
Stimulating nightly emissions guaranteed to open your eyes and your mind.
Oh, my word.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Switchboard is empty. Tomorrow night, all 3 hours straight to air. Sam's going to join us in the studio. We're going to bring some food and some drinks in. And we're just going to, you know, see what happens. Right. Here we go. I'll do a story, and then you do a story, and then we
all right, let's do stories.
I can't be bothered. Fancy going that one. Huh? Can Andre not come in early? He's so full of energy.
He is.
I don't know if by what time does he finish? 5 o'clock. I don't know if 4 hours is enough time for him to burn off his exuberance. So if he wants to come in 37 minutes early and try and burn off a little bit more exuberance, I'm going to be honest, I'm not listening by 5 o'clock. I'm asleep, right? If anyone has listened to Andre Walker at the beginning of the show and at the end of the show, is the exuberance the same all the way through, or what goes up must calm down? He can't be as upbeat at 5 o'clock as he is at 1 o'clock.
It's not a sustainable lifestyle, is it?
It is not. And if he is as upbeat, that man's gonna die at the age of 27, like Jim Morrison in a bath.
Oh, okay.
That's not a threat, by the way. Relying on public transport to get around means you may need to lower your tolerance of being in close proximity to other humans. I love getting the tube, I love getting the bus, I love getting the train, but not at peak times.
I do not like being sandwiched between people's armpits. Unless I know the person.
I do take pleasure. I've got a dirty little secret.
Oh, God.
I do take, if it's a really packed train, in dropping my guts.
Oh, my God. That secret is not a secret.
I really do.
But it is dirty.
It's like a sort of low-level terrorist. You know what I mean? It's like a low-level...
chemical weapon.
Chemical weapon. Thank you. That's it. And so I do enjoy doing it. Now, if ISIS just went around dropping their guts, you know what? I'd be annoyed, but I'd be prepared to sit around the table and talk, OK? But I do that.
Here's the thing with you.
Hello, Catherine.
I've worked with you for what... 5, 6 years now.
6 or 7 years.
So long that now I know your farts from anybody else's. That's...
Oh, I can tell I can identify my boys. They've both got different smells. It's like when I say, right, who's farted? And my youngest now goes, it wasn't me. And you know, because I always tell you when it is. But I had Patty, the kitten, 12-week-old kitten on my shoulder the other day.
She's the sweetest little dot.
Tiny, beautiful little thing. Tempted to bring them in. She just sat on my... Well, that's it. She nearly did. She sat on my shoulder and just went... I went, what? You dirty mare.
Yeah.
Velvet would never have done that. Whether it's being wedged in between two strangers closer than you've been with anyone for a while, or trying not to cry when someone coughs without putting their hands over their mouth, some things just come hand in hand with taking trains.
When people cough like this...
Oh, disgusting.
Just leave their mouth wide open.
I hate people. Really hate people.
Disgusting.
But one man has pushed the patience of his fellow commuters to the limit by deciding to transform the train station platform into his personal bathroom. It's not quite as bad as that. A photo posted online shows a man happily brushing his teeth as he waits for the tube in London before spitting out the contents of his mouth onto the floor in front of him. That is out of order. Twitter user Melissa Thurms uploaded the snap with the caption, "Disgusting behaviour at Euston Station this morning. Packed platform and this man starts brushing his teeth and spits repeatedly on the platform." Now, here's a jungle secret. Stanley Johnson, who is a disgusting man, in that every step he takes, literally every step... I remember we won.
I'm amazed he lasted so long on Hunted.
But he's deaf. He can't hear anything. Right. So I remember one. I don't remember quite remember how, but the men won a slap up. I ate so well in that jungle. I ate so well. I had the best meals I've had constantly.
That pig's fanny, huh?
But we. Pig's fanny, yeah. We.
That was disgusting. The way they kind of uncorked it.
Oh, beautiful. No, no. Bug smoothies or anything this year?
No, I know.
Bow to pressure, pussies. None of those either. But we won, the men won like a slap up meal, and it was at night time. It was really late at night, and they sort of rushed us because it was so late, so we didn't really enjoy it that much. But so we're walking down, and we had to walk through this dark, and me and I don't know two thickos I was with were behind him, and just. Literally every step. It's not an exaggeration. And it was me, Dennis, Amir, and I can't remember the other guy's name, Jamie. We're just in hysterics. And then you'd notice it all the time. You'd just be sat talking to him. And in the middle of a sentence, he'd carry on talking. But while he's talking,
no,
would just come out. And you'd think, and he obviously didn't notice it. He must have, Stanley Johnson must have such a loose anus because it would just come out. And he wouldn't feel it. But he also, another thing, he also was disgusted, right, by people brushing their teeth in front of him. He thought it was like cleaning your genital or something. I remember him saying, it's like Toff or a couple of people were walking about brushing their teeth. Oh, it's disgusting. I said, what's disgusting, Stan? That is private. That should be done in private. It's not, I do not want to see that. I said, well, brushing your teeth is, yeah, it's a personal, private matter. Yeah, exactly. It's going on. It is a personal, private matter, and people shouldn't see that. Now, there
meanwhile,
wasn't
you're
much
walking
room,
in his backdraft.
There wasn't much room in the sort of washing thing. And also, there was a nice bit of stream just on the other side of the camp that was good to brush your teeth in. So you brush your teeth and you'd spit into the stream and then you'd get into bed. But he found it disgusting. Really, really disgusting. Weird, weird old thing. Very weird man. Very strange.
Windy man.
Very strange, windy man with very strange principles.
I think old men in particular do lose track of their guts, don't they?
Yeah. Did the story... Did they show... Because I've not watched.
That never came out. You would think that I'm a Celebrity would go for that. That's generally the sort of stuff they like.
Did they show him telling the story about the time he was nearly raped in Afghanistan?
It's not one of the highlights I remember.
Right. He told an amazing story. And he told it in... He told it... It's an incredible story, right? He told it in front of camera, so it's all right for me to say. About how when he was a young man in his 20s... I think it was Afghanistan, maybe Iraq, but I think it was Afghanistan. He went travelling around the world. And I bet 22-year-old Stanley Johnson, I bet he was all right. Blonde, striking young man. Tall, it's only tall and very blonde.
Was he
right?
Tall?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
yeah,
he's tall that. Man.
And he was in Afghanistan. I can't quite remember the full details. But he was trying to get somewhere. And he was in a coffee shop, and these two men said, oh, well, we're going that way. We'll give you a lift. And he was like, okay, that's great. Yeah, definitely. So he got in their car, and after a while he realised they were driving him up a mountain.
Oh, blimey.
I'm pausing because I want to make sure I get this as right as I can. And he... worked out they were going to rape him. These two older Afghani men were going to rape him, right? And he's telling this in a very humorous, he's a very good storyteller, but he was telling this pack full of jokes and everyone's laughing, right? And I'm sat there thinking,
God, this is
I don't
dark,
know if we're meant
it?
To be... this isn't... He's choosing to tell it with humour. Great. I told my stories of abuse with humour for a long time. But laughing is... Anyway. And I can't quite remember. They either locked him in a shed or he jumped out of the moving car. I think he jumped out of the moving car and hid in some bushes. I think he broke his arm. Hid in some bushes. He was really badly injured. Hid in some bushes, and they came out with guns.
My God.
Trying to find him. I think they'd taken his shoes as well. And he had to walk down this mountain in Afghanistan at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, knowing that somewhere in the background were two horny rapists with a shotgun.
Flipping out, man.
And of course he escaped, and he wasn't, he told us he was not raped in the end. And I remember him telling us this and thinking, wow. And then everyone sort of had this crush on Stanley that I never quite bought into.
Well, yeah, that got shown. The you saying that you're not going to drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, did they show that?
Ian Lee compares Stanley Johnson to cult leader.
It was like that. I don't know if he was doing it deliberately, but certainly everyone fell into
they
that.
They got sucked into the old man charm.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a nice guy, mm-hmm. but I didn't buy into that. But then they all wanted to, at the behest of Jamie Lomas, they kept wanting to do things for him, like serve their master. And so they wanted to have an evening that was like a tribute to Stanley Johnson. And so we all had to write this poem. Now, we weren't allowed anything to write on, but they managed to keep some paper, some big sheets of paper from a task, and the producers let us keep it. And then someone found some chalk. And we had to go off. You get like a, you know, when there's a birthday card going around.
Yeah.
You get a, have you signed the old birthday card? You've got to sign it. It's over there. And so we all had to go and write this, like, four lines of a poem.
Whose idea was it? It was Toff's idea.
Jamie's.
Flipping out, man.
And you know the tune of the poem. Sing the tune of the poem.
Da 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 da.
That was it. So everyone had to write four lines.
God.
And I'm like, okay. And someone wrote a funny verse about
farting?
The time you were nearly...
No.
But they didn't use the word rape. I'm sorry, I'll stop using that word. Sorry, I realise I've said that word a lot and that can be upsetting for people, so apologies. I'll stop using that word. But they wrote a funny verse about the time he escaped from that situation. And I think Jenny and Toff were the only people that went... maybe Shappy as well. Is this really meant? Should we be putting this in? This doesn't feel like okay, he told it in a funny way, but that's up to him how he tells that story. I don't know if we should be doing a comedy, putting this into a comedy. I kept quiet because I thought the whole idea was... Look at that scratch on my arm from my cat. I kept quiet because I thought the whole thing was just an awful, awful idea, but I was not in favour at the time and I didn't want to... I just kept quiet and did my silly, boring, silly lines. And we all had to stand there in a line and perform it for him. Oh, and while he was sat on a throne, I'm just thinking, this is awful. But they kept they put that thing in the poem. He's lived an amazing life, right? He's lived an amazing, amazing life, and he's been in some very dangerous situations, but... I would have thought they would have shown. They would have shown that. They didn't show that on a Saturday night on ITV. Gosh.
No.
Okay.
Not that I recall.
It was incredible. And also, I guess you want a serious point out of it. It highlights that if you are a victim of anything, you are allowed to tell the story how you want to tell it. Doesn't mean other people can tell the story in the same way. I for a long time, told my abuse in a very humorous, very funny way, and I would laugh about it. But that was my way of kind of dealing with it. I don't want to read too much into Stanley's psychology because there's nothing to do with me, really. But if he wants to tell a story like that in a funny way, maybe it is funny to him. Maybe it is funny. Happened 50-odd years ago. Maybe it is a funny story to him. I don't think that gives us the right to then tell that story and make jokes about it.
I've told stories about dodgy things that happened to me. Dodgy things that happened to me.
You've talked about a French guy masturbating... in front of you, and you're laughing now.
I know.
And you've told, and you remember you telling me that story, and you told it to me a few times. I remember saying, but you know that's abuse, right? You know that he has abused you by doing that.
Yeah, I know. But the way to express it in what I thought was acceptable to other people was to couch it in, God, what a weirdo.
And
but actually,
okay.
It was horrific.
Yeah. And that's okay. You can tell it any way you want, and I can't judge you for it.
But it was only years later.
Yeah.
There's been other things, like the guy that followed me home and tried to push me in the flat.
Well, when you told me that, I couldn't believe that's horrific.
Yeah, Yeah.
Did you push you in the flat? And how did you get out of that?
I managed to shove him out the door. But that I saw as a, oh, God, that was a weird thing that happened. That and that's the story
that,
I told.
There's a guy that assaulted you and quite possibly nearly sexually assaulted you as well.
Yeah, and there's been a couple of things like that. But it's only kind of as you get further away from it that you feel, I think sometimes, or I felt brave, not brave enough, I felt able to address how serious it could have been.
Yeah.
Because when it first happens, I think the way to deal with it is to minimise it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
God, isn't that a strange way of dealing with it?
There is something. There's something humorous. No, there's something pathetic about a man masturbating in front of a woman on a train. That's it. Not humorous. That's the word. There's something pathetic about that, which I think lends itself to kind of almost the pointing and the laughing thing, right?
But the most shocking thing to me about that incident was that no one else said anything, and other people noticed.
Well, I told you about when I was 16 and I was 15 or 16 and I was in London with my friend Malcolm and we'd come to see Transvision Vamp and there was a train strike. And so we had to get home at a certain point and we'd had a couple of beers and there were these two men in their 40s, 50s, started chatting us up on a train, on an underground station. And I was kind of, he wasn't chatting us up to start with. He was just kind of talking sort of drunken nonsense and I was sort of winding him up a little bit, as I do now with some of the callers.
Yeah.
And then it got very overtly sexual very quickly. He talked about how he wanted to film me having sex with a pig.
Oh, my God.
He said, and this is the funny bit, he said, Abba, that's how Abba got famous. I'm like, all right. He said, oh, well, you've got a beautiful young man. I want to film you. He didn't say anything. I was like, all right. And then he started talking about, do I like giving blowjobs and stuff? And I was like, whoa, all right. And the tube came, and there weren't many tubes, so we had to get this. And we jumped on one, and he jumped on with his mate, the same entrance. So we jumped off and ran down and jumped on, and he followed us. And then he walked down the train. And I was 15, but I was tall, so I looked older. And he started touching me up, started groping me on the train. I was terrified. And I summoned up all my energy. It was a packed train. I summoned all my strength and courage, and I shouted at him, if you touch me again, I'm going to effing smash you in the face. I'm shaking with fear. And his response was very drunk. I remember it slurring. I'm ever so sorry for touching you in such a sensual way.
God.
And no one said anything, man. No one said anything. And we got off at the next stop, and like, me and my friend ran off, and then we had to get a cab, and oh, awful. I can feel it in my chest now. And no one said anything. And I can't imagine being in a situation where someone says something like that, I mean, at the very least, not standing up and using my height as a weapon and just going, is everything all right? I can't imagine not doing that. Maybe it's because that happened to me and I was on the receiving end of it. But so the point of what you were... Don't take the attention off of you to me, but the point of you saying that happened on a train and no one said anything, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me, unfortunately.
There's a bloke sitting there with his kid right next to it. But then I suppose he's horrified that this is happening in front of his little girl.
You can cite loads of psychological studies of group think.
Yeah, doesn't it take one person to step up and then...
It takes one person to break the dam and then nearly everyone will kind of get involved.
The thing is, I've also been in situations where things have started to happen and I've just frozen. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
maybe it's different being a woman on your own.
This is what I was
actually
say.
The older I get, the braver I get, I think. Because I'm becoming that old woman who don't give a toss.
I call people out a lot. I remember a few years ago, my eldest was in a buggy and there were some kids at the bus stop in Muswell Hill, a nice area, smoking weed. And I called them out for it. I said, guys, come on, man. I've got a baby here. You can't do that here. Well, a few years ago, it tends to be... I'm quite confident speaking to drug people because of my history. There were some kids sniffing lighter fluid in Windsor and the kids were with my wife. And I said, you guys go on. I'm just going to have a quick chat with these. And I went, guys, come on, man, right? My kid could have seen that. First of all, that stuff you're sniffing is shit. You don't want to do that, you know. But if you're going to do it, please try and find somewhere that my kids can't see it. But also, if you're going to do drugs, don't do that. That's not a drug.
Yeah.
That's going to fry your brain. Anyway, so drug people, I'm quite happy to go up and say, come on, man. There's got to be something better than that today.
I think I'm all right with people who are... I could be their mother. People swearing in the street, I can, in front of my kids, yeah. I'll say something.
Oh, I'll call people out for swearing.
Yeah. We went to the park when my kids were really little, and me and my mum, we'd been over there, and we had to tidy it up so that we could use the swings, because it was on a weekend. It was probably after a Friday night, and the bigger kids go down there and, like, you know, there's a supermarket opposite, so they buy
kissy,
everything.
Kissy,
yeah, loads of bottles and all sorts. Yeah. So we just tidy it up, and then this group of girls came, and they're all sitting around in a circle. And do you know what? I get it. I get how you can get a bit sweary and loud with your friends because you forget yourself.
Yeah. Of course.
Especially, I think, kids these days, because they don't get let out until they're like 14, 15. They're playing inside their back gardens or going to each other's houses because parents are so worried, you know, and I think sometimes justifiably, about letting their kids play in the street. My street is so full of cars, you couldn't play the way we used to in the street. Although I do try and let my kids do that. So they're not used to it. They're not used to sort of rubbing along beside the rest of society and knowing what's appropriate, you know, behaviour sometimes. And you get carried away and daft and stuff. So I get it. These girls were sitting in a circle and they're just like, we're starting to throw litter over their shoulders. And so I really quietly went up and I said, listen, you are going to pick this up, aren't you? Because I've just spent half an hour doing this so I can tidy up for the kids. And I know that you wouldn't want that. And they were like, oh, I'm really sorry. And I think they had just forgotten themselves. Yeah. And you show off in front of your mates, don't you?
No.
But I'm not frightened of that kind of stuff. But the other end of things, like that time on the subway in New York when that guy started on you. That was awful. That was terrifying.
That was terrifying. And we were on our way to see Imani Coppola and she said, why would you make eye contact with a schizo guy? And what she meant by that was, she may have actually said schizophrenic, I'm not sure, but of course, in America, you've got to pay for your healthcare. So there are loads of very seriously mentally ill people just riding the trains, walking the streets, people who could potentially be psychotic.
But this guy was walking up and down the carriage, challenging people to look him in the eye and stuff, wasn't he?
And I was then did the whole hippie, hey, I'll talk to you, brother. Of course I'll talk to you. And then he was threatening to kill me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, my God, we're in a country where they actually have guns. This guy's going to shoot me.
At one point, he said, I'm going to make you scared. You scared? I'm going to make you scared. You wait till we get off this train. And it was terrifying.
We recorded it. We got 20
minutes of
audio. The
woman sitting next to us was crying.
She was, wasn't she? Yeah, she was. That was
awful.
That was unpleasant.
Again, completely silent carriage.
Yeah.
And this is New Yorkers.
Yeah. I hadn't made the connection about mentally ill people, and they had obviously made the connection about guns and knives that I had failed to.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.